This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is not only your round one recap for the Sony Open, but also coming up after the break, a chat with the man himself, Bobby Fairways from Bob Does Sports, Robbie Berger. We'll get to that on the other side. KP, good to see you, bud.
Yeah, twice in one day.
How about that?
It's fantastic. Spieth's leading. All is right in the world.
Yeah, I love a good Thursday night. You and I with Jordan Spieth atop a leaderboard. That's
so good.
Chef's kiss. 6-under 64 for Jordan. At this moment, he is tied with Chris Kirk at the top of the leaderboard. The coverage is winding down. Taylor Montgomery technically still out on the golf course, though he did just make his first bogey of the day at 15. So Spieth atop the leaderboard. He went out early. It was a fast start for him, and he's kind of putting himself in position to be noisy this week.
Yeah, he is. It made me, I think we talked on Tuesday. I picked Tom Kim in our one and done.
You and
I said
both.
I said it was between, and I kind of meant this, like between Tom Kim and Spieth, and went the wrong direction, obviously. But Spieth, I read through his transcript, looked at his numbers. He putted the lights out. He always has some quotes that he starts talking and you're like, I don't know if he knows where this is going. He was talking about his putting and like how he's got this feel and he's like close to having it locked in. And when he does, he knows he can finish first in strokes gained on the entire field in putting. And it was like this long rambling thing. And you're like, I kind of believe it. I don't know what to believe with him. But the quote that will get a lot of run and already has gotten a lot of run was he said, I feel like I can, well, I should just read it because I've got it. Or do you have it pulled up?
I don't have it pulled up.
Okay. So he said, I believe I can shoot 5 or 6 under each day out here. He shot 6 under on Thursday. Not to say that means it'll happen, but there are other times I would be sitting there going, how do I hold this together? To be honest, seriously, which is like, that's his whole career in a tweet.
It was Jordan Spieth gaining across the board 3.5 strokes with the putter, which as of right now, this will probably adjust a bit, but like 5th or 6th best in the field on Thursday. I'll tell you what, I will be really excited for the prospects of 2023. If the first full field event out of the gate is a Jordan Spieth win, would that change expectations for Jordan this year, or are we just very much set in, hey, he's got to compete at major championships, who knows what he's going to do week in and week out? Like what are expectations for Spieth this year?
It's a good question. I mean, when's the last time he got off to like a really good, he had always played well at Kapalua, right? But then he didn't play it for a while, right? Because he didn't win. I do think, Rick, that I think coming into the year, the expectations for Jordan Spieth were like maybe win once and then like contend at some majors. I think if he wins Sony, it's like a little bit game on, right? For this guy could rise to become the number one player in the world, not necessarily this year, but over the next 18 months or whatever, maybe this year. I don't know. Sony's not like the biggest deal in the world, but I do think Spieth winning and getting some momentum going into like Phoenix and Riviera, plays great at Riviera. I think that's a real thing. I really do. I mean, do you agree?
Yeah. So for sure I think he's proven that he's kind of like a momentum guy. And when he starts rolling, watch out. And that goes in both directions. I think what would be interesting is right. I think what would be interesting is he is definitely no longer in the conversation as the best player in the world. Right. Mm-hmm. That's firmly Rory and Rom. And if you want to talk about Scotty and Cantlay or Cam Smith, like whatever, you get to probably 8 or 12 guys before you start talking about Jordan Spieth. And I think an early run in 2023, especially if you win before the Masters and you're Jordan Spieth, like you're going to kind of get everybody to a fever pitch. So I think it would be interesting if he were to throw his name at least back into that conversation and to already have a win. And obviously there's a lot of golf to be played here in Honolulu, but if he has a win before we get to the Masters, I'm pretty yoked up for that.
Well, I mean, yeah, I agree. It's a little bit like this is about the earliest you could win. So I don't know if it translates all the way into April. But I mean, imagine, Rick, I think we've done this thing a little bit where we have sort of written him off as being able to be the number one. Like, I don't really you know how I feel about Spieth, but I don't really think about him as being a number one guy, like a number one player in the world anymore. And that's maybe foolish. He could obviously anybody that's in the top 20 could get to number one somewhat easily in terms of you win a couple events and you're in the top five, you know. I think, is it weird to say that he has something to kind of prove this year?
I don't know to who.
Maybe to himself.
Maybe. I don't think he has much to prove to anyone else besides himself.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is it feels like he's fallen off this sort of tier of guys that I'm like, that guy could get to number one. I don't really think of Spieth as somebody that could get to number one right now.
No, I agree with you.
And so but then if he goes out and let's say he wins Sony and like wins Phoenix or Riviera or something like that, then you're like
Texas before the week to Texas Open the week before the Masters.
Right. I mean, then it's like, okay, yeah. I don't know. It's sort of a weird position because there are a few guys that have done and accomplished more than he has, but because he has these ups and downs, I feel a little bit like, you kind of have something to prove this year, you know, of like, can you be like the top guy in the world? Maybe that's unfair. It doesn't negate everything that he's accomplished, but I think it's, I don't know. That's just sort of how I feel about him right now.
It would be an interesting subplot to 2023 if Jordan Spieth just injected himself kind of right back into some of these conversations. So 6 under.
Be amazing.
It'd be amazing. Right. 6 under 64, Chris Kirk there as well. There's a couple of guys in the clubhouse, Harris English, Denny McCarthy, Brendan Todd at 5 under, Taylor Montgomery, coverage over. Taylor Montgomery still rocking and rolling. He is on 16 right now in the middle of the fairway. He just made bogey on 15. We talked about him a lot in the preview show, Kyle. And if he continues to play like he has in the fall and like he has in the first round here in January, we're going to be spending a lot more oxygen on this guy. And he's going to be our rookie of the year.
Yeah, he's a little bit in the Sahith Theegala role from this time a year ago. He certainly has accomplished more at this point in the season than Theegala had at this point last year, but he's the guy that you're kind of looking around like most normal people are not paying attention to golf right now. Right. You've got psychos like us who are, and the people that watch this show, and there's a small contingent, which is great. Like those are the people that I'm interested in talking with and talking to, but there's going to be a moment over the next 2 or 3 months where people sort of jump back in to golf, whether that's Phoenix or Riv or maybe the Masters is like when most people kind of jump back in, and they're going to have no idea who Taylor Montgomery is. And he's going to be ranked like, what's he ranked right now
in the world?
Yeah.
I can find out for you.
He's going to be ranked like 22nd in the world or something. If he continues to play like he is at the kind of bigger events that he's going to play himself into.
61.
Okay. I mean, I think people, even people who are like hardcore with this stuff, don't realize how much he's accomplished and how good he's been since this season started. I mean, he's got what, like 7 top 15s or something?
Yeah, I think he's got however many events he's played, either 7 or 8, it's one less, and that's how many top 15s he has.
Yeah, which is just, that's nuts. That's crazy.
The only problem, I suppose, is that this season he is the best putter on tour. 28 rounds, 1.22 strokes gained per round. That does not include the shocking 4.7 he's already gained through the first 15 holes today. So he is either the greatest putter on the PGA Tour, kind of like Denny McCarthy area, or we are going to get some putter regression. It doesn't mean he can't be a great putter and the rest of his game has been stout enough. And you go back and look at the Korn Ferry stuff, same thing. This is a prolonged stretch of really good golf for him. But I imagine the putter is going to cool off at some point.
Yeah, I agree. But I keep saying that. It keeps not cooling off, right? It's a little bit the way that I felt about Tom Kim coming into the week, where you look at some of what he's done and you kind of say, okay, that's great. Is it sustainable? I don't know. And maybe Tom Kim's a bad comparison because he played not very well on Thursday. But when somebody continues to do it in like dunking in our faces, at some point you have to say this is just who this person is. Now, history would say Taylor Montgomery can't be that person for 10 years. But, you know, I think he could be for 18 months or, you know, 2 years or something like that.
Speaking of our one and done selection, Tom Kim, it was a 2 over 72. And speaking of putters cooling off, Tom Kim lost 5 strokes putting on Thursday. I saw that.
Which makes me optimistic about making the cut, right?
It just makes me optimistic that like the world is not crashing down. Yes. So he gained a stroke and a half off the tee, a shot on approach. That's 2.5 in the ball striking categories. Like, if you would have told me that and didn't reveal the rest of the stat line, I'd be like, oh, that's cool. Tom Kim's like leading the golf tournament. This is statistically, he doesn't have a lot of rounds. Obviously I've got 82 rounds on him. This is the worst putting round of his career. So I imagine we are not going to, he's not going to lose another 5 tomorrow. He might not make the cut. He could, because it can bounce back, but that's kind of where we're at this point.
Yeah. Would you, if somebody gave you the opportunity, would you trade him and use, like, would you take Spieth this week? You don't get Spieth. I mean, obviously you don't get him again because it's one and done, but would you trade it after round one?
Yeah. Right? He's 8 shots better. So you're just saying, would I just take the result of Spieth or save Spieth? Like, Spieth might finish T19.
Yes. Yes.
Right. Yeah, I'll take it. Because I do think when you get, and I have no data to back this up, I just feel like a really good, engaged Spieth, fresh to start the year. Like, I don't know. That to me feels like a pretty good spot. It's not a particularly strong field at the top. Like, I would take the Spieth run right now.
I think I would too, but I do love picking him for Augusta and or the Open just because he's so good on those courses. The only other guy I wanted to mention real quick, Harris English, really good first round. He was out January to June of last year. He's played 15 events since last June, and he only has 1 top 10. I don't know if that's lingering injury. I don't know what that is, but it was good to see him play well because, man, he was rolling before that injury, really, like through the Ryder Cup in 2021.
Here's the good thing. When he did it again on Thursday, when you see Harris English gain strokes across the board, that's the sign. That is what he does when he plays his best golf. He's not going to blow you out of the water in any one particular area, but he's going to gain like a half a stroke across the board, and it's going to be great stuff. So he did it again on Thursday. We'll see if he can do it again on Friday. I think it's time, KP. I mean, should we tease this a little bit? We had Bob on. We took like 28 minutes of his time. It was a pretty good convo. We recorded earlier today, and I'm pretty stoked about it.
Yeah, really good. You and I could probably talk about this on another podcast. I'm really interested in the sort of YouTube golfer world. There's a lot of people in that world. He mentioned some of them, the good and the Barstool guys and the Line Up guys. And there's just a lot of people that we are friends with play golf on YouTube, which is, it's so like strange, also not, because it works. And so we talked to him a lot about that. And I think it's a fascinating world. And I thought he had really good insight into it.
Yeah. All right. So without further ado, we're going to go to a break, and then Robbie Berger is going to be on the other side. So we'll see you over there.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
And we're back. Very special guest time right now on the First Cut podcast. You might know him as Brilliantly Dumb. You might know him as Bobby Fairways. I personally know him as the 2008 Jim Harder Basketball Camp Most Improved Player. It's Robbie Berger. Bob, what's up, dude?
Rick, I appreciate you having me. And a big shout out to the Jim Harder Basketball Camp. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, no, nowhere else in the world are you getting introed like that, but here at the First Cut Pod.
That's one on one. I'm never going to get that again, so I'll really soak it all in.
That's so sick. Well, listen, we've got a lot to get to here. We've seen you on TV as of late, but you're crushing it on YouTube. Obviously, the Bob Does Sports crew. When you started doing something like that, I imagine the goal was like, hey, let's get popular. Like, let's start doing stuff. Let's see how many people we can get watch our stuff. Could you have ever imagined to be at the point that you're at right now?
No, I mean, it's a good question, but it definitely not. I mean, we didn't really know where it was going to go. And we certainly at the time, we didn't expect it to be just like an old golf show. I know it's Bob Does Sports, but really it's just Bob Does Golf. Definitely didn't see it going there. But just as we kind of went and as we kept putting out more content, we saw what worked and what didn't. And then, you know, you brought on guys like a Joey Coldcuts, Matt Perez, and you know, it started to pop. So to answer your question, no, man, I mean, not at all. It's pretty surreal.
It feels like Joey Coldcuts is like pouring gasoline on any fire. And then the addition of Fat Perez is just like the cherry on top. I obviously watch everything, so I'm very excited about this, but it's such a dynamic, fun crew. Does it feel like work when you're out there? Are you still having fun playing golf?
Not at all. I mean, we do a Bob Does Sports trip. So like once a month, we take a week and we get as much content as possible. You know, the best thing is we spend so much time together on all these trips and not. So even off camera, it's a very close knit crew. I mean, Fat Perez is asleep on my couch next to me as we speak. It really is. It's a very close knit group, and we really, really enjoy it. And you definitely have different personalities between us all, so it works. And no, it does not feel like work at all. It's bizarre that's what we consider work nowadays.
Yeah. I guess going back to work, before, like when you moved out to LA trying to start it out, you worked as a night manager at a Four Seasons, right? How was that time in your life kind of balancing making content, but also working at a night as a night manager in a hotel?
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, the good thing with the night shifts is, I mean, I hated it. It was tough because, you know, you do the night shift, you get home at 7 a.m, you go to sleep, you wake up at 2 p.m., 3 p.m. So your day's just starting while everybody's kind of like finishing their day. So it's, to be honest with you, it's kind of depressing when you're doing that. The good thing about it was during the night shifts, I was able, there was nothing going on. It was a Four Seasons, so it was, you know, it was a good hotel. You had to be alert and on top of things, but at the same time, there's not much going on. So I was able to fire a lot of my content to, you know, my side hustle. I was able to do it a lot, you know, during those night shifts. But at the same time, I always loved doing content so much that it didn't really necessarily feel like a grind or anything, because I truly loved doing it. So when I had my lunch breaks or when it was really quiet, that's what I was working on. And then, you know, as it got bigger and the Instagram started to really go up, it got a little bizarre because you would have some guests that would recognize me. And then, you know, I had about 40, 50 employees under me. It was a big department that I was doing. So the guys, you know, my employees were starting to watch the content and see some of this happen. So I don't think the Four Seasons loved it, because they're very I love them, but they're very regimented, and yeah. It was definitely different than I think any of us were used to. But the night shifts overall really did help me, you know, fire a lot of content out there.
Was there anybody's career or any business that you looked at and said, okay, we're maybe not exactly like that, but we're trying to kind of, I'm trying to kind of model what that person's doing or that company's doing or whatever? Or were you kind of just doing whatever you wanted and it stuck? How do you like sort of think about that kind of thing?
Yeah, somebody that I always watched, that I always loved, because it was just what he does is so organic, and he has his best friends working on the show with him, and that's the way that I always wanted it to be. Pat McAfee. Yeah. You know, the Pat McAfee show, he's got all his boys on the panel there with him, and none of it is staged. It's just, they just get up and you could tell they're just having so much fun, and they're just a very close group. So I always watched McAfee and admired what he was able to do. With that being said, you know, I don't know. I definitely had like a different style, but McAfee was somebody I always looked up to and still do. I mean, he's killing it.
We've got bills to pay. We'll talk about the Tito Shorty's Classic, but I got a lot more before we get to that point. One of the things that Kyle always kind of talks about, I think we were just talking about the other day, KP, is it feels like we're very much in this influencer realm where, mm-hmm. you know, these major club manufacturers are almost using the influencers that they have on staff, the YouTube audiences that they have access to promote new products like we've never seen before, right? And I don't know if that's because the average person can't relate to what John Rahm's hitting or what Xander Schauffele's hitting, and they just want to hear what Bob's hitting, because if he can find a fairway with it, I can find a fairway with it, right? So there's this kind of this weird dynamic, and it feels like you're kind of right in the middle of it at the right time.
Yeah, it's a good point. I honestly, with the whole thing, I think we kind of caught the perfect storm, because I mean, I think everybody's seeing now, and you know, just the whole influencer world now and how you can make that to be a full-time job, you know, podcasts, YouTubers and all of that. And then for us, I think what has been so huge is YouTube golf now is crazy. Yeah. To yeah. see the way that all, and now all these brands in the golf world. I mean, I think if you ask people from Callaway and whatnot years ago, if they would have YouTubers, you know, promoting their clubs and doing sponsorships with them, they'd probably say no way. So we definitely, got lucky in that regard of kind of hitting this time where I feel like golf has never been more popular, and especially YouTube golf. Yeah. So we're kind of just riding that wave right now, but we're very aware that we really, really kind of hit the jackpot with it as far as being in golf at this time. And it's crazy to see the way the world's adjusting, and we're just kind of running with it.
It is a really good point. Like I watch golf on YouTube of people that I know and have become fans of. I don't watch people play like pickup basketball on YouTube. Like it's almost like, and maybe I would, but it's almost like golf is the perfect sport for something like that, because everybody does play it, and it's almost more, I think Rick said it well, it's almost more relatable when you say, hey, try out this club, rather than Rory or Spieth or JT says it. Cause I'm like, well, we're like playing a different sport, but you and I, we're like closer together in terms of what we're doing, what we're playing. So I think the term influencer is maybe sometimes you, maybe by my parents, is like a negative connotation, but it's really, I think in a lot of ways, the smartest way for a lot of these sort of legacy, bigger kind of companies to reach not only a new audience, but even the audience that they're trying to reach originally.
Yeah, I think even like if you said to me like a year ago, if you called me a YouTuber, like you, it had like kind of like a stigma to it, where like even that now is kind of like, that's cool, or like that's, right, okay with that, or like influencer or whatnot. And yeah, I mean, the good thing for me and Joe is we almost don't want to get better at golf, because people like they like watching us go and chunk shots. And the good news is we don't see that changing anytime soon for the viewers, as much as me and Joe may want it to. But yeah, I do think a lot of people can relate to the golf that they see us play. And then, you know, on another note, something that I didn't even realize when we first brought him on, but that's been a really good change, is when we brought Fat Perez on, who obviously is a stick. I mean, he's an unbelievable golfer. The good thing with the channel now is you have me and Joe. You never know what we're going to do, shooting it every which way. And now you have Perez, who's got this smooth swing and can play. And now you get a little bit of both worlds, which is something that's been awesome. I didn't even see that. I didn't think of that when we first brought Fat Perez on. He was just a shoo-in at the time. But it's kind of turned out to where that's helped, where now you get good golf, and then you get me and Joe, who can't get out of the bunker with anything.
Yeah. There's nothing more relatable than when one of your balls goes in the bunker, and there's this sense of dread of how where is this going to go? How is it? Like, I feel that. Like, I'm with you, bud.
Brutal. It's brutal. And you would think by now we would be able to. I was playing a Grant Horvat, who was part of Good prior, and we did like a match, and I was up on him like three strokes going into the last hole. And I'm watching my ball sail into the bunker, and I'm like, oh, no. I try and get one out. I duff it again. I hit into another bunker. I hit it over, and then I end up blue. Like, just it's abysmal.
So how did the three of you all come together, you, Joe, and then Fat?
So me and Joe, it's so funny because he's right there in the living room.
You can bring him in if he ever wakes up.
Yeah. It's amazing. He's still asleep. I don't know how I haven't woken up.
No different.
It's unreal. Me and Joe, so Joe actually, it's pretty funny. Joe was a manager at the Four Seasons at the same time that I was working at the Four Seasons. And at the time I was a front desk agent. Joe and his restaurant, the music was really loud. So, and the rest, he was the GM of the restaurant at the Four Seasons. So my manager went to complain about the music. So Joe came barreling out, and he came over to me and asked, you know, do you think the music's too loud? And I said, no, not at all. I said, I think it's great. Everyone's having a good time. And so that's how me and Joe met. And then with Perez, we were doing, during COVID, we were doing happy hours for people on our Patreon, people who like, subscribe behind a paywall. So we would do happy hours. There was nothing else to do. And we're on a happy hour one time, and Joe sends me a text, and it's all on a Zoom call, so you could see everybody up there. And, you know, people would come in, probably had like 75 people in at a time. And he's like, you see this Fat Perez guy? And I look up at my screen, and there's this guy in a cubicle, and he's clearly at work. and he's just piping down beers, like just beer after beer. And you see Fat Perez on the Zoom, and I'm like, what? Who is this guy? And we brought him up like on the happy hour. And he just killed it. He was a riot. We ended up meeting up at Pinehurst in North Carolina, and we went to dinner together. He played with us the next day, and it was so natural the way he came in. It was just like it was a no-brainer once Perez had joined.
That's hilarious.
It's amazing. And Bob, speaking of the ascension here, I mean, you were with Amanda Renner, our very own Amanda Renner, co-hosting this Tito's Shorties Classic. I mean, this isn't YouTube anymore, Bob. This is Golf Channel.
I know. And thank God we had Amanda, because it just I was so worried as far as like it's such a different beast. I mean, I've always wanted to do TV, but for us, like YouTube, we have our editors, we have the jet to where like we know we're in good hands, we know we're protected. And it's like you go out, you go on, you know, for TV, it was definitely different. But Amanda's a pro, so we kind of just took her lead with it and just ran with it.
Yeah, she's great. So this aired last night, but you can go watch it again. It's on the PGA Tour YouTube channel. There was a charitable aspect to it that we'll get into a second. But this is essentially, Bob, just correct me if I'm wrong, it's kind of a pitch and putt. We've got Joel Damon, Harry Higgs, Keith Mitchell, and the Bo Show, Bo Hostler, who that's about as good of a crew as you could put together out of anybody on tour.
It's a perfect cast of characters. They really did. They played it really well as far as getting those guys together. And I mean, I think you could tell on it. We were watching it last night. It's a good cast of characters. I mean, even before and after, we were all hanging out and the vibes were high. It was honestly, it was so much fun and pretty surreal for us, again, being the first TV, you know, gig that we've done. So it was really cool.
So let me follow you up on that, because is that like a watch party moment? Because I do this show and my mom says, oh, I saw you on TV. And I said, no, you saw me on your TV. You were watching YouTube on your TV.
Yeah,
but this is that's not TV, but for her it is. So I imagine if I was actually on TV, Bob, that would be like you get the family together, you sit them in front of the TV, you watch it together. Is this a watch party opportunity?
Me and Perez, we came back from filming, and we knew it was going to be hard for us to watch. It's weird looking at yourself. It really is. And like, you're not watching anything else. You're just looking to see you, to see if you've done anything stupid. Yeah. So me and Perez came back and we're like, man, like it's going to be tough for us to watch, but we got to watch it. So yeah, we got back and we watched it, and it ended up being awesome. I mean, we were cracking up throughout it. Yeah, it was the range of emotions we had watching ourselves on TV for the first time was the most bizarre thing. It really was. It's hard to describe, man. It was wild.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
What's the, you know, I think that when you present something on YouTube or even on this show, people don't really, and more so with you guys when you're out on the golf course and stuff, people don't understand how many things go into like that presentation, right? It's not just like, oh, we'll take our iPhone out and film it. I mean, it's that sometimes, but there's a lot of editing, just a ton of stuff. What is the biggest misconception, like when you tell people that you play golf on YouTube, what's the biggest misconception that people have about like what that experience is like?
Yeah, it's a good question, because you're right. We have two editors, the Jet and the Big Ticket. What we call them, everybody's got a nickname. Those guys work like dogs, man. They're unbelievable. What they have to do, like we go out and film, and even this trip, we got 8 videos. And for me, Joe and Perez were like, okay, great. We're done. We got 8 videos in. That gives us more than a month worth of content. For those guys, it's just starting. Like for those guys, it is just, their work is just getting started. So they work countless hours doing it. And there really is a lot behind it before it goes out there. And again, for us, as much as it's a dream, and we're certainly not complaining, that's for sure. But we really do work hard. We really do, because there's a lot of content that's got to get out there. We have the Brilliantly Dumb show as well. So we do another show. And even one of our editors from Bob to Sports also does the Brilliantly Dumb show, amongst a lot of things. So it really is. It's nonstop. But it's such a dream tour. Again, it doesn't feel like work. But any of the editors in these YouTube, I mean, some YouTube accounts, sometimes we put out 2 videos a week. The stuff that these editors do behind the scenes and how long it takes to go through hours of footage, it's amazing what they're able to turn out. It really is. It's incredible. I even see some channels with 3 videos a week, and it's a lot. So those guys, more than anything, they bust their tail, man. They really do.
Yeah, multiple hours getting cut down to 20 minutes, 25 minutes, something like that. Doesn't sound easy. Is there anything that's that never made it to YouTube? You know, something that hit the cutting room floor that stands out to you? Maybe it was a little too risque. maybe Joey Cold Cuts crossed the line somewhere, Bob. We can't put that out to the YouTube crowd.
Yeah, I'm sure if you ask the Jet, I'm sure he's probably got a folder of just some ridiculous things.
Blackmail. It's probably blackmail.
Oh yeah, for sure. No, he's got me dead and rights. Yeah, there's definitely stuff on there. For us, which is good, though, like we've done other channels where, like even Good, who we love, and, you know, we collab with them a lot. You got to keep it very PG. And a lot of times we forget that, like, we'll curse on there and stuff. For us with our channel, which is good, we can really kind of let it fly. It hurts us a little bit monetization-wise, but for us, we'd rather be able to really be our true selves and really let it rip. So for us, when we're filming, we're still able to let it go. But yeah, if you ask the Jet, I'm sure he's got a folder of just some real ridiculous stuff that didn't make it.
That's so good.
Well, I think the first video of yours that like really took off, at least from my memory, from what I saw, was I think it was the Genesis 1 year, and you were just peppering the boys with, I don't want to say like heckling, like positive reinforcement, maybe adjacent. Yeah. And you've done that recently as well, like in conjunction with the tour, right? Have you like run into any players that have kind of felt rubbed the wrong way, or any guys who are like the other end of the spectrum, like really into it and like needling you back?
No, because like you said, like the stuff that I'm saying, like we always call it heckling, but I'm not really heckling them at all. I know like with golf, it's a very fine line that you got to walk. And I only like really got into like the Genesis was the first tournament that I had ever been to. I had never seen a golf tournament. But I did know there's a fine line that you got to walk with the guys. So I really haven't gotten anything bad, because a lot of what I'm saying is just positive stuff. Some of it's a little ridiculous, but it's nothing bad. The only guy that I think you could say maybe that I've actually heckled was Bubba Watson when I did the Not Today, Bub. So I think that's the only guy that like I really walked a little bit of the line with, and maybe got, you know, a little close to him getting upset. But I mean, besides that, it's all been really positive. And what's cool now is the relationships we have with the players, to where a lot of it doesn't really work now, because a lot of it, we know the guys. So we don't really catch them off guard where we've had conversations with them or they've seen it or whatnot. So it makes it fun, but there's not like that element of surprise where in the beginning they were kind of confused when you did it. You know, depending on who it's to.
I think Bubba actually cited the heckling when he left for LIV. Bob, I think that might have been you. You might have pushed him over the line there.
I was going to say, and I'm glad you said it, Rick, because you know what? It could very well be.
So good. So good. I was watching I was watching last night. So again, you can watch the replay of the Tito Shorties Classic on the PGA Tour's YouTube channel. Over, I think it was 290 grand was donated to charity. There was a charitable aspect to this, Bob. So there was a lot of different ways for money to get donated based on play. And there were fun little quirks. There was a reverse mulligan I know you got involved with. I mean, this was something where we can have a little fun and we can do a lot of good.
Yeah, it was. I thought it was a perfect mix of both. It really was. It was, and again, like you said, with the guys that they got on, they really, really picked it well for it to be as fun as possible. And the reverse mulligan with me, Joe, Amanda, Perez hitting the shots definitely added a wrinkle to it. For me, I just wanted to get that reverse mulligan over. I really did. My worst nightmare has always been every time like I'm watching golf is you see people behind the ropes and you just think to yourself, man, if that was me, these guys are in trouble. Like, God forbid. So when it was time, I'm kind of standing over the ball and I was telling Perez and Joe that when I'm standing over the ball and everybody's lined up, you got people around the green to where even if you don't miss the green that much, people are still calling four because you're right, you know, you're right by them. As I'm standing over the ball, I swear to you in my head, I know this isn't great, I said to myself, there's no way I hit a good shot here.
It's a good swing, no though.
Yeah. And then I hit it, and to watch, hit it way over the green, and to watch these people just scurry in fear over your golf ball. It's one of the most bizarre feelings. Not a good feeling, but just bizarre.
I'm nervous when you just have Ticket standing by himself on the green. I'm nervous for him. Yeah, let alone a crowd like that. Can we get that guy a hard hat? What is hat? This feels so unsafe.
Rick, he just missed getting ripped in the head with a ball. And sometimes Joe has a lot where Joe like will really skull it, and it's like one of these low liners to where it's scary, man, because he's got the camera, and you know, we always say, and we're hopefully it doesn't come to fruition, but one of these days it just scares us that he's going to get hit because we got balls coming every which way.
Sorry, KP, I thought you were jumping in.
No, I am. Rick, have you ever played in front of like any kind of crowd at all?
No, and that is by design. Right. I mean, I avoid those situations the biggest crowd would be like, we all go on a boys golf trip and everyone's standing around the first tee. You're in the first group out. And that's enough.
That's enough. I was going to say, I played in a pro, I think I told this story. I played in a pro-am before and there was like 20 people out there. I mean, there was nobody, and it felt like the first tee of the Ryder Cup. I mean, it felt just completely insane. It's terrifying. Bob, I'm curious about when you think about your work, do you meditate? Do you consider more the business part or the content making part? Cause there's so many different like aspects to kind of building what you're building. Which do you switch back and forth between? What's your relationship between thinking about business and thinking about making the next video or making the next 10 videos?
Yeah, that's a really good question. It's a mix of both going into it. And like when Bob Does Sports started, I didn't know how much of the business side it would be. Like a lot of it, when push comes to shove, even though you're playing golf, you're running a business. You know, you have merch, we have a Breezy Apparel, and we're running tournaments, and you have different sponsors. So it's really switching between the two. What's good is like for us content, that's why it's great that we have that 1 week where we film as much content as possible. So we make sure we're on that week, we're ready to rock and roll, get all the content in you can for the month. All the other weeks and all the other days, I'm able to focus on the business side of it. And that's something that's really, really been great for me because I've learned probably more about it than I could ever imagined this past year from a business standpoint and how much goes into it. But yeah, that was something that was interesting is how much of it is a business side because you really are running a business. And again, this year I've learned more than I could have really ever imagined with business relationships and all. It's really been cool.
Just remember, Bob, those greens fees, those are business expenses now. So just write those off.
That's exactly right. It's a whole Brilliantly Dumb LLC, baby.
That's right. That's right. Smartest thing. You know, you're talking about sponsors a little bit, and that 290 grand that was donated to charity via Tito's, that's the handmade vodka that everybody knows and love. I've not stepped into the alcohol sponsorship game yet, but I feel like if you're going to do it, Tito's is a good one to align with.
I have had more espresso martinis both before and after the Tito's collab than you can imagine. It's a no-brainer. But yeah, that was that was a really cool one for us. Perez can really put him back as well. So
yeah, that might not be that profitable for Tito's to be like feeding Perez.
Probably.
Yeah. he put a hurting on him. It was a open bar during the Tito's Classic, and he put a hurting on him.
So good. So good. I could probably do this for 3 or 4 more hours, but I'm going to try to wrap this up here at some point, Bob. But like, what's the future look like, right? I mean, you talk about it all the time. I mean, this really is kind of a rocket ship situation. And what does that look like as we enter 2023, not only for you, but for Bob Does Sports and everything else that you've got going on?
Yeah, I think about it all the time, because a lot of times people would ask me, and to be honest with you, Rick, I really didn't have an answer, because I really didn't know. And my answer and what I've thought of is that it's growing. It really is. It's growing so much right now to where for us, it's like we just want to keep growing our channel, get our platform as big as possible. And then we know that all, you know, doors are going to open from there. The whole Tito's thing for us is a perfect example to where we have the platform now. These doors are going to open. Something I've always wanted to do, always wanted to be in TV. So that was awesome. I mean, it really was. It was surreal for me to do this. But yeah, we want to build it as big as possible. And then we know the different steps and opportunities that we're going to have as a group. We can decide, do we want to do this? Do we want to do that? And then take it from there and run. So just continue to build the show as big as possible. And, you know, for us, we still feel like it's a lot of these things that happen to us, or even us being on TV, it's very surreal for us. And, you know, we definitely don't want to ever lose that feeling, which I know we won't. So we're all kind of just taking it in stride and really soaking it in, man. We really are, and see what happens from there.
I love it. Boys, anything else before we let Bob get out of here?
No, I got some videos to go watch.
Yeah. My favorite was when he pretended to take Joey to Torrey Pines.
That was the one.
And then he took him to a dog track.
that was the one. That video took the YouTube. That's what finally made everything jump, as we told Cold Cuts we were going to take him to Torrey Pines. And we took him to, without question, the worst golf course. It's got to be the worst golf course in America. And he was so fired up. He was looking forward to it so much. And I felt so bad doing it to him. But as we were going there, I said, it's going to be so good for content that he'll understand. And I think now that he does, as upset as he was.
I'm hoping at some point you finally took him to Torrey Pines.
We have to. Not yet, but that is on my mind. Whether it's like Pebble Beach, Torrey Pines, I will absolutely make it up to him for sure. It's the least I could do after that.
So good. So good. All right. YouTube.com/PGA Tour is where you can watch the replay. Tito's went out and did a great thing, donated $290,000. The Shorties Classic was phenomenal entertainment. Bob has been very gracious with his time. You can follow him on Instagram. It's Brilliantly Dumb. Bob Does Sports on YouTube. Bob, thanks so much for popping on.
I appreciate you guys having me, man. Anytime.
All right. That'll do it for this First Cut episode. Patrick McDonald available at Amateur Status. Kyle Porter at Kyle Porter CBS. You can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been the First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil Returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.